LSU snags their third win in a row. The Tigers are on a heater on the hardwood, taking down Georgia last night. I'll give out my game balls, game recap plus. One of the biggest recruits in a very long time has LSU on his radar. We'll break down all of that and more on the Locked On LSU podcast.
Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. I am your host, Caroline Fenton. I am an LSU alum and a diehard LSU fan, and I am now a sports talk radio host at ESPN 102.5 The Game here in Nashville. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. You can also follow the podcast Twitter at LockedOnLSU. I will post podcast updates on both of those accounts. Also, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Locked On LSU. All the podcasts will go up on YouTube as well. Having a little bit of a camera issue, so won't have me on the YouTube channel, but you can still listen to the podcast and still get all of the good content there. But like I said, LSU takes down Georgia, a statement win, whooped the Bulldogs, 84-65 at the PMAC. Now, that is LSU's third straight win in a row, bumping them over that 500 mark in the SEC, sitting at 7-6 in conference play. Now, when LSU was on a losing streak, when they lost, you know, six of the last seven games that they had played, I said I wasn't going to do anything hasty. I'm not going to call for Will Wade's job. I'm not going to do anything dramatic in a tough stretch. I'm also not going to do that when LSU gets too high. You know, I'm going to approach both highs and lows with the same level of headedness on both sides. I'm not going to get too high in a winning streak, especially after beating the world. Like, can we be honest? I'm not going to freak out and write a letter home about LSU beating the worst team record-wise in the SEC. It absolutely gets LSU back on the right track. It absolutely keeps their momentum going. They absolutely are in a good spot here. But I'm not going to say, okay, all right, LSU, let's give me the tournament, baby. Give me the Final Four. LSU's there. I'm not quite there yet. Not going to get high. Not too high. Not going to get too low. But it absolutely is a good sign for LSU moving forward. It absolutely gets them on the right track. Now, some keys to LSU winning that game. Aggressive defense. LSU forced 26 turnovers, which they turned into 31 points. So it's not just forcing the ball out, it's also capitalizing on the turnovers that they create for themselves. Here's head coach Will Wade on the aggressive defense against Georgia.
I thought we were aggressive. We did a good job with the scouting report. We knew where the shooters were. We knew where the drivers were. We were really good. I think we were giving up, just some quick math, but I thought we were giving up like 0.65 to 0.67 points per possession, which was tremendous. We ended up with 0.87, if my math is right, which is worse than our defense is statistically. We'll probably drop defensively because of the junk that happened at the end, which is just infuriating to me. But because our guys did a great job, and we deserved to hold them down a little better than we did. But I thought the first 35 minutes, you know, 0.65, 0.67 points of possession, that'll win you plenty of games.
All right, so a couple things that I want to dissect there. Will Wade always emphasizes points per possession, both points that LSU scores per possession and also how many points they limit their opponents per possession. And it really is, you look at the metrics when you break it down, it really is a wonderful metric to see how LSU controlled the game. Because you look at that losing stretch and they were giving up 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 points per possession. And then you look at this big time win against Georgia, 0.64, 0.65 points per possession. So you can see it there in the final scores in the games they lost and the game where they just absolutely blow out Georgia. Points per possession matters. Another thing, you also heard Will Wade say we did good with the scouting report. That's something that Will Wade mentioned after the Vanderbilt game, that they just overlooked the scouting report, that they just left guys who are notorious three shooters wide open for threes. So that's another thing, is understanding your competition and making sure that that LSU limits their opponents to things that they're not very strong at. So that's another thing, is focusing on the scouting report and knowing who their opponents are, capitalizing on their weaknesses, and making sure that they box out all of the strong shooters, making sure that they force their opponents into and out of their comfort zone. So that's another thing. Also, I just have to say, one thing that I admire so much about Will Wade is you can blow a team out by 20 and he's always going to find things that just makes him angry. Like he said, giving up points at the end. I mean, LSU got their bench players at the end of the game. So you're going to give up a few more points whenever your aces aren't out on the court. But I always love how Will Wade just gets so bothered by some of the sloppy mistakes, even when they blow teams out, which I appreciate, because it's all about those little things. It's all about limiting the sloppy mistakes, even when you're up by 20, 30 points. Another key to this game, and I mentioned it just a couple seconds ago, and that was points off the bench. So it's interesting because Will Wade stylistically prefers to go about 8 men deep. But with such a massive lead after the first half, a 32-point lead in going into the half, which is, you know, subset, another huge thing that we've seen from LSU is that when they get going early, that's where they have their statement wins. That's where you can start to see some momentum moving in the second half, is getting up early in the first half. And you saw on the other hand, in their losing streaks, I mean, they just got bullied in the first half and they were forced to come back in the second. And that's just not enough when you give up so many points in the first. So getting up big in the first half is another key to this game. But that massive lead allowed them to focus more on the depth guys. And it wasn't just, you know, okay, let's take our aces out, let's give them some rest. It wasn't just putting bench guys out there, but it was also utilizing them. And it was also getting production out of them. LSU used 10 guys in the first half, 13 in the game total. Even Parker Edwards had some time to shine there at the end of the game. Got in for a couple minutes. He didn't score a point, but he did see some game time. So that is what you love to see, getting some bench guys out there. But all 10 of LSU's rotational players scored in the game against Georgia. So big time getting some bench guys out there and getting some production out of their bench guys as well. Final key to the game here, the offensive rebounding. LSU had 17 offensive rebounds on the night, and it's key for this LSU offense to get moving and to get momentum. Here is what Will Wade had to say about the offensive rebounding last night against Georgia.
It's all about percentages. Part of the reason we're offensive rebounding better is the ball's moving. So when the ball moves, the defense is stirred up. So then when they switch like they do, they got their two guard trying to box out our four man, and our four man sitting at the rim. Well, that's a lot easier for us to offensive rebound. When we weren't getting a bunch of offensive rebounds, the ball sticks and they just stay between them and the basket. And so it's just basketball 101, it's simple basketball. Yeah, if we can keep the defense stirred up and keep them moving and keep them in rotation, we'll get on the offensive glass a lot more. And that's one of those things y'all ask all the time about, what does Pinson bring? The ball moves. So then when the ball moves, we can find mismatches. If you don't find the mismatches, you have the mismatches on the offensive glass, and you can go get the ball even if you miss the shot. That's it. That's how it all works together. That's how everything works together, how the whole pot stirs.
So whenever Xavier Pinson was out of the lineup, I kind of attributed LSU's losses and, you know, the health of the team was absolutely up there, but I said it couldn't be everything. But I think what we've seen the past couple of games is that losing just one guy, losing just Xavier Pinson, really exposed this LSU team. And it's because that was a hole that had to be filled by a role player that wasn't necessarily their bread and butter to fill that hole. So I think we've seen, like what Wade mentioned, Xavier Pinson coming back in the lineup, him filling the role that he is supposed to play, and that allows every other player to play their role as it's orchestrated and as it's illustrated. That is what brings this team so much success. And that offensive rebounding, it allows the ball to continue moving. It continues the possessions for LSU. It continues their offensive momentum. So offensive rebounding, as we have seen over this stretch of three wins, is vital for LSU to win games. Now, the keys to the game: aggressive defense, LSU forcing 26 turnovers on the night, points off the bench, all 10 of LSU's rotational players scored in the game against Georgia, and also offensive rebounding. You heard Will Wade. It just, you get those offensive rebounds, and it allows the offense to continue the momentum and do what they have needed to do. Those were the keys to the game. And also getting moving in the first half. 32-point lead in the first half. That is another key for LSU to snag some wins. Now, coming up next, game balls. I got three players that deserve game balls for the win against Georgia last night. We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Bet Online. Just because football is over, and I know that everyone's so upset about it, I don't know what I'm doing with my Saturdays and Sundays anymore, but just because football is over doesn't mean that you can't get in on the betting action. Basketball is in full steam, both pro and college hoops. So check out BetOnline if you want to put some money on the games. They've got the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land. BetOnline is the number one spot for all of your sports betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. Consider it your one-stop shop for all things sports betting. And it's not just basketball. It's not just football. It's not just baseball. We've got baseball coming up. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds, right to the Olympic coverage and information. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I mean, it's the whole team. I said this, I think, in the press conference when we were down. The strength of our team is the strength of our team. Like, we're a good team. And, you know, everything just runs a little bit smoother. The rotations run a little bit smoother. You know, the matchups are a little bit more advantageous for everybody. Everything's just quite a bit smoother with that lineup.
Thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Game balls, LSU with a statement 84-65 victory over the Georgia Bulldogs in the PMAC last night. Big win, their third win in a row, on a nice winning streak there. My first game ball goes out to Xavier Pinson. This team has looked completely different since he came back from injury. And like you heard Will Wade say in the last segment, Xavier's back in the lineup. And every other player can do what they are orchestrated to do. Last night, he had 10 assists, not a ton of points. He had 7 points on the night, but it's not necessarily what he does on the box score. His presence does two things. It keeps the ball moving, allows LSU to continue their possessions and stretch their possessions longer with offensive rebounding. And also, like I said, it allows Tarison, Darius Days, Brandon Murray, it gives them better looks because that allows defenders to spread out. It forces defenders to spread out. So, you know, Darius Days isn't getting double teamed. Tarison isn't getting double teamed. LSU has so many offensive threats on this team. And Xavier Pinson being back in the lineup and back on the court allows each and every role player to do what they need to do. So Xavier Pinson gets a game ball. Just his mere presence does wonders for this team. Second game ball goes to Darius Days. Now, he had a bit of a slow start in the first half. Will Wade had some choice words to say to Darius Days in the first couple minutes of the game, but I think that's all it took for Darius Days to get back in the groove of things, to get back into doing what he does best. He finished the day with 15 points and 12 rebounds. That is his seventh double-double of the season. Darius Days just continues to prove himself a deep threat on this team. Third game ball goes to Tari Eason. Tari Eason is absolutely electric. Last night, he led the team in points. He's been electric across this three-game win streak, but it's not just the win streak, because even the games that LSU dropped over that tough stretch over the past 7 or 8 games, he was incredible. Against Georgia last night, he was 9-15, 23 points. 17 of those points came in the first half. And I said, getting going in the first half and establishing a lead in the first half is vital for this team to continue that momentum into the second half. and he scored at least 23 points in each of LSU's last three wins, 23 against Georgia and Mississippi State, 25 against Texas A&M. And since the start of December, Tari Eason has scored single-digit points just once. Just once in nearly 2 points. He had in 2 months, 6 points against Florida in a game where he only played 7 minutes. So Tari Eason has been such an offensive threat for this team. And Will Wade said, hey, like, of course we lead in points off the bench because our leading scorer is coming off the bench. But Tari Eason has proved himself to be incredibly reliable when it comes to getting shots and draining shots. So Tari Eason gets a game ball, not just for the win against Georgia, but a game ball for all the games that he has scored double-digit points. Now, these three players, Xavier Pinson, Darius Days, and Tari Eason, now they have emerged themselves as being the leaders of this team, but the real test gets going very soon. Now, LSU has played plenty of talent so far this year, but this three-game win streak is so vital to continue the momentum moving forward because they've got some tough tests coming up. On the road at South Carolina on Saturday, and then traveling to Kentucky next Wednesday. Kentucky just got smoked by Tennessee, and that could go one of two ways. Now, is Kentucky going to be angry? Are they going to come back with a vengeance? Are they going to want to come back and prove themselves? Or is Kentucky entering kind of a rough skid that LSU can take advantage of? LSU coming in on a win streak against Kentucky. Kentucky going in on a losing streak. Now, I kind of tend to believe that it is the former, that Kentucky is going to be angry, because this is one of the best teams in the country, and they don't want to lose several games, especially to in-conference opponents. So that's going to be a tough test for LSU moving forward. But just like Will Wade said, continue with that momentum. Continue to get production out of their leading scorers in Tari Eason, in Darius Days, and Xavier Pinson. Put the trust in your big guys and hope that they can continue that momentum, and LSU will fare very well in continuing the conference play and continuing into the SEC tournament. Now, coming up next, one of the biggest recruits, one of the biggest names, honestly, maybe of my lifetime, and LSU is in the mix for the teams that he is interested in. We'll get into that coming up next. Locked On LSU Podcast. I'm Caroline Fenton. We'll get back into this after these words. Arch Manning. Now, there was a little bit of misinformation that was spread last week. LSU is still in the running for the number one recruit in the nation for the 2023 class. Louisiana kid, quarterback at Newman, Cooper Manning's son, Arch Manning. Now, there was a story that came out last week, I believe it was last Friday, that said Arch Manning had narrowed down his finalist list of schools, and LSU was not in it. It said Alabama and Texas were his number one and number two options for where he would ultimately land. Now, his dad, Cooper Manning, talked with 24/7 Sports and said that was not true. Talked with them on Wednesday and said that was not true. His list of schools that he is considering is much more expansive. Now, LSU's not in the short list. His top four schools right now, Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, and Georgia. Those are his top four schools. Those are also the schools he visited this past summer, where he returned in the fall. He went to games there. So I can assume that those are the schools that he is seriously considering, because those are the schools where he took formal visits. Now, two more schools in the mix, Florida and LSU. Those are two schools that are still in consideration, that his dad, Cooper Manning, told 24/7 Sports that, hey, while Alabama and Texas are in the running, those aren't the final two. Georgia, Ole Miss, Florida, and LSU absolutely are still in the mix. Now, he will likely visit LSU in Florida in the near future, if not in the spring, then in the summer. And I have to believe that he will likely visit those schools very soon. You know, he's got to make up his decision pretty soon. Now, per 24/7 Sports, Clemson is the only program that Arch Manning has visited and is no longer in consideration. So that's a bit of a good sign there, narrowing down his list a little bit there. But if Brian Kelly is sticking to his word of keeping Louisiana players in state, landing Arch Manning would be the biggest splash since he stepped on campus, and whatever his tenure would be at LSU, however long his career is at LSU, that probably would be the biggest splash, period. I mean, Arch Manning is the most touted recruit of my lifetime, I have to expect. I mean, this poor kid, all eyes have been on him since the second of football was in his hand. Now, one interesting caveat to this is everyone excited about Arch Manning because of a name? Or is everyone excited about Arch Manning because he is the real deal? Now, we've seen some fabulous things from him out of Newman. Put up huge numbers at Newman. He's put up huge numbers and has gone viral at camps, at quarterback camps, at football camps. So it very well could be that Arch Manning is the real deal. And I've been talking about it the past few days, kind of talking about Joe Burrow, that LSU can't be like the University of Tennessee, landing there Peyton Manning and been searching for the high of Peyton Manning ever since 1997. Arch Manning could be the way that LSU avoids that quarterback void for years. Arch Manning could be the quarterback and the name that reignites the excitement at the quarterback position at LSU. Landing Arch Manning could be a huge statement for two reasons. One, other recruits around the country, other 4 or 5-star recruits around the country are probably looking at where Arch Manning is landing. If I'm a wide receiver recruit, I want to catch balls from Arch Manning because I know that he is the real deal and I know that all eyes are going to be on him. So if I'm a wide receiver recruit, if I'm a running back recruit, if I'm a recruit in general, I want all eyes to be on me as well. That's one thing. If LSU lands Arch Manning, it could also send a statement to other quarterback recruits that are following in his footsteps and say, hey, I mean, I understand that Alabama is a hot spot to go. I understand that going to Ole Miss and settling into Lane Kiffin's offense and putting up huge yards and taking advantage of that air offense would be huge. But I can go to LSU and be a quarterback, because if one of the best quarterback recruits in the country can go to LSU and can find success, then I can too. And also, keeping Arch Manning in Louisiana would be huge. Any school in the country would welcome Arch Manning with open arms. And LSU landing him, keeping him in state, just continues that quote-unquote boys from the boot mentality, that there's top-tier talent in the state of Louisiana. And where else would you go other than LSU? So Arch Manning, still open to LSU, also in his short list, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas, and Florida. But LSU still in the mix. Brian Kelly and his recruiting team, I'm sure, has got to keep Arch Manning on their radar and continue to recruit Arch Manning heavily. Now, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. LSU baseball getting started this weekend. Next episode, we will tease the LSU baseball season. Jay Johnson starting his career as the head coach of LSU baseball on Friday night against Maine in their weekend series against Maine. What to look out for on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It is free and available wherever you get your podcasts.